Hello again, you're listening to the News at One. Voting in the Dublin Bay South by-election takes place this Thursday in a contest caused by the resignation of Fine Gael's Owen Murphy. 15 candidates are running in the four-seat constituency, which runs from the south side of Dublin City to Ringsend, Rathmines, Ranelagh, Terenure and Kimmage. As voters head to the polls, or prepare to, let's talk now to Sunday Times columnist Justine McCarthy and to Sandra Hurley of our political staff, who's in our Dáil studio. Very good afternoon to you both, and thanks for taking the time to talk to us. There's obviously a Dáil seat at stake here, but perhaps for the main parties and maybe some of the smaller parties as well, more than that. This is a test of where they stand, perhaps, or will be seen as that with the electorate. Justine, in relation to Fine Gael hoping to hold a seat here, and I suppose a significant enough electoral test under the leadership of Leo Varadkar.
I think it is probably the first real test he's going to have in a by-election. Since he became leader, there have been three by-elections in 2019. You might remember that Fine Gael actually lost Francis Fitzgerald's seat at that stage. But Dublin Bay South is such a strong Fine Gael bastion. I mean, they had two of the four seats there up to the general election last year, that if they were to lose and end up with no seat, that would be a very bad day for Leo Varadkar.
And Sandra, for Sinn Féin, a challenge, an opportunity to show that it has continued momentum. For Labour, perhaps an opportunity to demonstrate that it's begun a recovery.
Yeah, I think for Sinn Féin, this is a test of whether that brand that we saw that was so strong in the election in 2020, does that carry through in a constituency where they wouldn't be seen as typically strong in Dublin Bay South? And there's a feeling I'm picking up today that the thinking is that Sinn Féin hasn't quite got the base to pull off a victory here like it did in Dublin Midwest, and it was always a bit of a long shot. For Labour, Ivana Bacsik, certainly the party feels that the momentum is behind her campaign, and this would be a huge victory for the party. It has been languishing in the national polls. This could be seen perhaps as more of a personal vote for Ivana Bacsik if she does well, but it would be very important for the leadership in the party if it could pull this off.
And Justine, for Fianna Fáil, certainly a test of Micheál Martin's leadership, but also a test for perhaps the person who might be seen as his main rival for that leadership, Jim O'Callaghan.
I've seen that said, but I don't really think that that's true, because there is only one Fianna Fáil seat there, and Jim O'Callaghan has it. Now, that said, Deirdre Conroy, their candidate, should probably poll better than the 10% she seems to have at the moment, according to the Irish Times poll. I think just on the Sinn Féin issue, you know, they have a TD. Out of the three sitting TDs, Sinn Féin already has one. And it would be almost too much to expect that constituency would go from having half of its TDs being Fine Gaelers to half of its TDs being Sinn Féiners.
And for the other parties, Sandra, and the independents, I suppose for many of them it's an opportunity, if you like, to stake a claim in advance of the next general election, maintain their profiles.
Yes, I don't think any of the other parties are expected to figure very strongly, people Before Profit, AIM Through, the Social Democrats, some of the independents. But it's important for them to contest an election like this when it comes up, and it's important for them to put those candidates forward to build on previous campaigns and, again, to build for the future.
Justine, we've had one opinion poll in the course of the campaign. I think it was 500 people were questioned, so perhaps a smaller than might be usual sample, slightly larger margin of error. And of course, I think opinion polls in by-elections are notoriously difficult to pin down what might be the actual result from one opinion poll, but it certainly does seem to have had a significant impact on the nature and momentum of the campaign.
Yeah, as Sandra said, people in all the campaigns that I've spoken to have said that they are picking that up as well, and they weren't surprised by the poll finding that Ivana Bacsik was showing very strongly, with 22%, just 5 8% first preferences behind James Gagan. And people who are experts at predicting the numbers in elections are saying that Gagan will need 30% at least to have a chance of winning the seat, whereas Batrick, if she can maintain the 22% or maybe add another couple of percent, would have a very good chance of winning. And that's primarily because if you look at the other candidates who would be the last to be eliminated, there's a pool of very strong liberal, non-government female candidates there whose transfers she should pick up, from Sinn Féin, the Green Party, the Social Democrats, the Fianna Fáil candidate, even People Before Profit, whereas James Gagan is more likely to pick up some transfers from the first parties or individuals to be eliminated, which will be polling very low amounts of first preferences to be transferred.
And what about some of the issues in this campaign, Justine? How have they shaped it? What impact have they had, local issues, but also national issues that are felt locally?
There's a saying about this constituency that its voters like to think that they elect government ministers, not mere TDs. And there is a very strong track record of Taoiseach, Tánaiste and very senior ministers coming out of this constituency. So if you look at the profile of the constituency itself, and I had a look at the Oireachtas' own profile this morning, and it shows some very interesting stats. The percentage of professional occupations in Dublin Bay South is almost 32% compared with 17% nationally. And the number of people in private rented housing is the proportion is 44% compared to 18% nationally. So these aren't people on half payments. So I think most of the issues that have arisen have been national issues, such as housing would be probably the biggest one. And there have been a few local community ones, but green issues, environmental issues, they would be high up the agenda as well.
And just finally, briefly, if you can, Sandra, Justine was describing how we'll be following the transfers come the count on Friday. You think we might have to wait quite some time for a result?
Yes, it is expected to be tight. I think most see Fine Gael is topping the poll. Ivana Bacic needs to be within a few points of him. If there was a surprise and Sinn Féin came in second, then Labour on the back foot straight away. But Bacic is expected to pick up transfers from the Greens, from the Social Democrats, from other lower placed candidates. Fine Gael, though, I'm picking up from the parties, should pick up from Fianna Fáil. But it's likely to go down to that last elimination. If, as expected, that's Sinn Féin, you'd expect their transfers to go more to Labour. However, in the past, we've seen sometimes that Sinn Féin doesn't transfer largely at all. So one party campaigner said to me today they saw a potential for a recount into Saturday because it is going to be tight and lots of transfers at play.
Sandra Hurley and Justine McCarthy, thank you both for that. And the full list of candidates in the Dublin Bay South by-election are Ivana Bacic for Labour, Justin Barrett, National Party, Lynn Boylan, Sinn Féin, Claire Byrne, Green Party, Dolores Cahill, Independent, Deirdre Conroy, Fianna Fáil, Peter Dooley, Independent, Sarah Durkin, Social Democrats, Manix Flynn, Independent, James Gagan, Fine Gael, Jackie Gilborne, Renua, John Keegar, Independent, Colm O'Keefe, Independent, Bridget Purcell, People Before Profit, and Mairead Tobin,